Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Tactical Friday. You heard from her this past Monday, and I have the pleasure of welcoming back Mahek to tell us more about how to take action on everything we talked about this past Monday. Mahek, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm super excited to bring you back on. And, you know, we really jived on how far ahead of your peers that I see you are, and then also you recognize it and you started taking action on so many things. And I want to translate that now to the audience about the ways you took action and the way that not only people talk about it all the time, right? But you actually applied it, you implemented it. And I really want to start on that networking piece, the relationship, the rapport building, where I'm going to call it out there, the way you treat your students going through this program, you described as they're your friends. They're people that you hang out with, you want to socialize with. They're good people. Y'all are good people. And that's really like intrinsically emphasizing what a relationship is, what a rapport is. How did you get focused on that? And how have you really built that for yourself in your network in a world where you didn't know anybody, in a big old world where you didn't know anybody out there in the Bay Area?
Yeah. So when I first got out to San Francisco, I remember I was living in this apartment in SF and I didn't have any furniture. It was like a blow up mattress. Like I was literally starting from ground zero. I had like $1,000 in my bank account that I'd saved from running my agency back at Purdue. And I was like, I need to make connections this month or I'm screwed. And one of my advisors at Purdue gave me this piece of advice that people really like talking about themselves. So if you email someone and say, hey, you know, I really like what you're doing, or I think this is really interesting, would you be open to like a 15 to 20 minute call with me to give me some advice? If they respond yes, and a lot of people will, especially if you're on the younger side, because they want to pay it forward and give back. But I jump on that first call and I wouldn't tell them anything about myself or even like start telling them about myself. I would just ask them questions about like, how did you do this? Or like, what are your thoughts around this? And as they're talking, I started to think through like, where could I provide value to this person? So at the time I was making websites, I was learning how to run Facebook ads and Google ads and, you know, all of that stuff. Like I wasn't anyone special by any means, but by just listening to them talk for 30 minutes and then saying, hey, I know that like I there's not really much I can provide for you, but if you ever need help with like a website, like let me just build it for you, or let me just do something for you. Like, you know, like, I wouldn't even have them charge me for it. I wouldn't even charge them for it. And that was really helpful with building out my original connections out here in San Francisco. And then it was just getting myself out there. You know, like I guess right now with COVID, it's a little bit harder to just show up to events. But my first 3 months in SF, it was over the summer. And a lot of the venture capital firms were throwing their summer parties. So I like was on the lookout for which firms are throwing different parties. And I'd go and sneak into these parties. And like, I just show up.
I was literally about to ask, were you crashing the parties? You just like hop in the fence and roll right in?
I wouldn't hop the fence, but like, I would just walk in. And like, because there's just so many people there, you could just kind of like get in. Yeah. And like, I'd memorize the faces of the partners before going into these events. Then I'd walk up to them and I'd say, hey, I dropped out of college. Like, would you be open to grabbing coffee with me? And like, when they're talking to you in person, it's like, they're not going to say no. It'd be like a lot nicer. And, you know, some people later on would turn me down and say, hey, I'm actually really busy or whatever. But I remember there was this one party that I crashed at Foundation Capital. And I met one of their partners, Josh Manchester, there. And then I met a couple of other VCs there that weren't partners. And Josh ended up becoming a really good friend of mine. And he's actually an investor in Skillbank now, like 4 or 5 years later. He helped me with getting my first couple of clients. There was a couple of other VCs there that I met. And I like just shadowed them or like edited stuff for them, like video content. And just did it all for free because I was like, I want to build these connections with them first before I like try to make an ask of them. Yeah, it's like you have to look at relationships as being something that, where can I provide value to this person? And sometimes that value is just like maybe like boosting that person's ego and like make, not that I'm saying I did that with them, but like if you think about it in that way of like, how can I just go there to learn and show that I'm there to learn and I'm there to make their lives better? I think that's like the really most, the most important thing.
You know, and it's funny, there are two things I pulled out of that. And I want to touch on the first one. You said not necessarily boost their ego, but I think there's like an authentic way to do that, right? You have this conversation with somebody and I'm sitting here talking to you off recording. Like, I don't want to put down that you're 24, but holy shit, you're only 24, right? That's not me trying to boost your ego of what you've accomplished at 24. It's like, I'm genuinely impressed, authentically impressed at 24. You have this process at 24. I didn't think like this. I was a beat cop in Atlanta, not thinking about anything that you're talking about. So you have this conversation, you like pinpoint things, like not to boost your ego, but like, I'm actually impressed with the fact that you did X, Y, and Z. Will you tell me more about that? So it's like, you're boosting the ego because they think that's impressive. Right. But it's in an authentic way. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to actually be interested in what the person's exactly saying. If you're just like, if you're like, oh, hey, yeah, that's really cool, like, tell me more, but like, you don't actually like care about it, like, you're like, who the fuck is this person? Sorry.
No, no. I don't bleep them out. I leave them in, which is why I laughed her
okay, cool.
During Mondays when you were like, ah, this was crazy. Or you said something sounding like, that's not the word.
Yeah, like, this is messed up.
Yeah, that's not the word you use.
No, definitely not.
But the second part that I was going to ask, and you already kind of answered it, you said when you're crashing these parties, which first off, I love that you did that. Like, that's just, that's like, that is the journey and the story of like real life attached entrepreneurship. Like, you got to do some crazy stuff sometimes.
I had nothing to lose then, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I they throw me out. Like, all right, they didn't know who I was before anyway.
Right? But you said that you would go and you would memorize faces of the partners. And what I wrote down as a question was, did you do your research and specifically pick people that you were in a space that you didn't just randomly like, oh, I'm this person, or throw a dart at the wall and like, this person's who I'm going to talk to today. You obviously had to attach the research and you were very intentional about these actions. You weren't just doing it in a random way where you knew something about the person that you already had interest in what they were doing. So it made that conversation a lot more fluid. Tell us more about that. How do you kind of how'd you gear that toward this research? Because there's so much information out there about everybody now. It's really a simple thing to do. Kind of describe that to the audience for us.
Yeah, most of these firms only have like max like 10 to 15 partners. So it's a lot easier to memorize the faces of the people that work there. In Foundation Capital's case, the founders were actually all from Purdue. So like, not that they knew who I was or like, I actually even knew anyone who knew them, like they could like make an intro. But I knew like once I was in the building, I could like drum up conversations with partners that were there because it's like, oh, I dropped out from Purdue. And it's like, oh yeah, our partners went to Purdue. So like, or like our founders did. So like I'm always trying to look for connections. So like where can I relate to someone regardless of whether they're in my space or not? Like Josh's investment thesis is like so different from what we were at Skillbank, but like I was just really like interested in learning about him and just kind of like, you know, like I looked at it as a period of just learning a lot. And through that time period of just showing interest and putting myself out there and just trying to like draw connections to people, you know, like people felt like they related to me over a longer period of time. And like, you want to try to find that common ground because it's not, you can't just walk in and be like, hey, fund my business or like, hey, send me clients. It's a, hey, how can I start to build this rapport with this person? And you can strategically do that over just like, there's so much information about people online now that, yeah, it makes it a lot easier than going in completely barehanded.
And I love highlighting that because it really segues into the applicability into the quote unquote real world or the corporate world, the business world, where every guest I bring on the show, I either have a conversation to research more about them before the podcast, or like for you, we didn't do that, but I still Googled the hell out of you, right? And you have so much on the in the world out there that it's hard to really pinpoint things, but I wanted to research you so we could have a good conversation because I wanted to know a little bit more about you. You did the same thing to land clients and build business and kind of build that network. But I also think when you're going after like that first job, or you're going after any job, really, researching, back in the day, I used to research the hiring manager. Who am I? I would always ask, who am I having an interview with? I'd go stalk their LinkedIn. I distinctly remember it. I was applying to a job at a security firm, and a position is my first like civilian world job. And I researched the dude. He went to the University of Tennessee. I walk in, he's wearing a Tennessee orange tie. And I immediately tied it to like, okay, cool. Here's my point to have a conversation about something that's not business, but it shows a little bit that I gave that effort into, I know about the business. I know about you. I know, but I did all of this. I'm invested in getting this job, which means when I get the job, I'm gonna be invested in doing the job.
Yep.
Talk us through like that piece of things of how you're using your research, your rapport building, all of that, and like summarizing into, this is how you can successfully go get that first job or get that big job that you really want.
Yeah. So especially I think with agencies, this is a little bit harder. So if you want to go work at a marketing agency, because there's so many people, but if you're trying to get a job at a startup, especially like an earlier stage startup, those people are usually really accessible. They're like on LinkedIn, you know, like they probably have Twitter accounts or Instagram accounts. So it really just comes down to how can you get into the door of like just getting on a call with them and then doing the same thing, learning from them, getting information from them, having them share information back with you and doing some research beforehand. So one of the things we actually do at SkillBank is it's mandatory for every student for the first 6 weeks of class to do, I think it's like 2 to 3 informational interviews a week, where we actually have them reach out to, we have them identify in the first week what kind of companies they want to work at. Is it a marketing agency? Do they want to work at a healthcare company doing marketing or a sports company? And then we have them identify what are startups or companies within that space and who are people that they can reach out to for advice. In the first 6 weeks, we have them message these people. We give them like a template that they can use that's just like, hey, can I steal 15 minutes of your time? I really want to learn about how you're running your business or like what your startup's doing. And we've actually seen students get hired out of that process because they start to build rapport with people at these companies. And you're learning also to get over that mental hurdle of like someone turning you down. You know, like you think that, oh, if someone doesn't respond to me, I'm like a loser, I'm a failure. And like, you can't look at it that way. And you can't take that thing personally because everyone is living their own life for them. You just have to figure out how can I like get into that person's life, provide some value to them after we start talking. So that way I can stay in it over a longer period of time. And I think when you look at it through that mindset, you can get yourself in the door a lot easier than just applying on LinkedIn and sending your resume to tons of people because you're not actually building any rapport with them. It's just like, great, this is a resume and this person's not a right fit because I have no clue who they are.
I think that's a perfect, perfect point. Resumes are almost like a dead art these days. Yeah, you need one, but like how many do they get every single day? How do you stand out? And doing exactly what you're talking about, building that rapport, doing the research, and especially for a guy like myself leaving the government world, it is really difficult to translate what I did in the infantry in the Middle East into here's the value I provide as a leader in your organization. So as you're translating these things and you're doing this research, what I love about what you're saying is you learn the lingo, you learn what they're looking for, you learn so much about how you can provide the exact value they're looking for, or disqualify them as maybe you don't provide value in that situation that they're in, right? So it helps you like focus more on this is where I should be spending my effort. And it helps you translate, all right, here's what I'm really good at, here's what they need, and let's translate it together. So in an interview or in a conversation, I can tell them this is where I can provide value, where I can help your business grow. And the fact that SkillBank's doing that, that's amazing because that's probably out of their comfort zone, right? I'm sure a lot of people fight with
absolutely.
Oh, I don't want to do that. That's scary, right?
Yep.
I love
that. Yeah, you know, it's scary. And it's, you know, putting yourself out there in a way that you can get rejected. You know, it's not a natural thing.
You probably get rejected several times, right? Like,
oh, absolutely. And you know, like we've gotten out with students in their first week where it's like, I sent out 20 messages and no one got back to me. And it's just like, okay, well, first of all, let's actually take a look at how you're writing that message. Like, let's fix that up. But also like, you know, yeah, sometimes people are just doing their own thing and like, they don't have time to do your thing with you right now. But you know, with Skillbank too, because we're teaching them how to do paid media and run these Facebook ads and Google ads over the span of these 15 weeks, by the time they're like getting towards the end of doing their informational interviews by week 5 or 6, they know enough to be able to actually go into those informational interviews and actually like provide value on the call. So it's like talking to a startup founder and you're just like, oh, like, what do you need help with marketing right now? And it's like, oh yeah, like we started doing these ads, and it's like, oh, like tell me about your persona. Tell me about like how you're running them. You know, like the student can actually like kind of sell themselves more on that call, and learn that over the span of like going from how are you feeling about running your company in the first few weeks of informational interviews and like more feelings focused to like more tactical running those interviews that way towards the end.
And it's such a great span because the people, especially as an entrepreneur, I know my first business, I'm still emotional. I still have it. I'm still emotional about it, right? That's my baby. And in the startup space, especially, people are going to be emotion driven by that. So you start with the emotion, but then you're able to focus it down weeks later into the tactics, but then you can still draw back that emotion piece because that's what people really want, right? That's what you have to kind of draw into. So sounds like an amazing program. I absolutely love the way you've essentially created a science attached to that. And I love that program. If people want to learn more about the program, they want to find out, you know, is it worth it for them to be in that? Where's the value that you're really bringing into these young people trying to transition and find these first jobs and get into this world? What's the best way for them to find out more about the program, find out more about you? And let's, of course, give another shout out to your chief pup officer, because I want everybody, I want that following to grow for her.
Yes. So if you want to follow Olive, she's Olive Your Heart on Instagram, like the vegetable Olive. If you want to learn more about Skillbank and our paid media program, our next cohort is starting on May 10th. You just can head over to joinskillbank.com. And yeah, you can apply. You can see the breakdown of the curriculum, take a look at who our teachers are, and what we have to offer over there. And then, yeah, if you want to follow me and see what I'm up to at Skillbank, I'm just at the THE and then my full name, Mehak Vohra, MehakVohra.
Awesome. Mehak, again, another conversation with amazing value. And so many people, I mean, a lot of people, I imagine in your world, shut you down because of your age, but I implore you, keep that up, because there's so many people that need to be listening to this from young to old in a world where even amazing, successful executives have to now transition into a world that I don't want to learn computer stuff, right? This is such a perfect opportunity to be like, realize this is such a great way that a young person can actually be a mentor to so many, because you have such a great concept behind it. So I appreciate everything you're doing. I appreciate the value, and just thank you so much for the time you've given us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was incredible.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, and I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Night Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit nightprotectionllc.com.